Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast. This is Jesse Tyler. It's great to have you with us again. I work for Hypotherm, an almost 55-year-old global manufacturing company focusing on technology to power the industrial economy. So you find Hypotherm, and you drive across a bridge, Hypotherm was probably used to cut the steel. You walk into a building, Hypotherm was probably used to cut the steel frame, the glass. And if you sit down in a cafeteria, some of the food would be cut with the water jet, and all of those driven by our software. So we've been in ownership for, this is our 21st year. And part of my role at Hypotherm is participatory decision-making, focus groups, listening groups, and supporting the ownership team. And one way that's grown out of a friendship with Brett Kiesling from the EO Podcast Network is interviewing other employee owners nationally so that we can bring their voices to the conversation and their peers can hear their own peers talking ownership. VPs, directors of HR and all that are totally awesome. That is not what we're going for here. We want to have owners talking about ownership. And that's really a goal, to spread employee ownership, spread the message. A key goal for the podcast as well is for somebody considering retiring, selling their business, that they hear the podcast and in the voices of our rank and file and different role owners sharing their eloquent perspectives and stories, that those potential sellers can hear their own employees, their own legacy, and maybe take a harder look at the potential beauty of selling to it to their employees. So what I want to do is get us started here. We are excited to have Butler Till join us, a woman-owned ESOP leading marketing company. I've cited, it's personally fun for me because I've cited Butler Till for years as a great example of how to feature a culture and share it in a really generous way. And a very personal connection in that I run Problem Busters. I've run 20 global sessions over 7 years. And that concept came out of an interview with one of your directors 7 years ago. And I hyperthermized it, and it's become a cultural norm and a huge impact on solving customer problems, culture problems, and others. And I always, at conferences and every Problem Buster session, I give a shout out to the awesome Butler Till. So we have three guests today, Deanna Colombo, Paula Janowski, and Devin McHenry. And I'm going to do is transition over and have Deanna kick it off. Deanna, could you introduce yourself and add a little bit about what your role is? And what's more fun is titles can be one thing. I like to go farther into what do you actually do? A day in the life of those things on your plate. So take it from here, Deanna.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jesse. First, thank you so much for having us here today. My name is Deanna Colombo. So what I really do here at Butler Till is kind of help maintain and engage the culture between the leadership and the agency. So I really, first of all, I help manage about 6 to 8 leadership schedules while also maintaining the agency meetings that happen monthly and weekly here at Butler Till. But aside from that, I also am really a champion for the inclusion and belonging here at Butler Till, just because I want to make sure that leadership is really always accessible to everybody. So that's like a little bit of the day to day. On top of that, I think I also help with like facilities. I help with communication. I help order lunches and that sort of thing. So I'm kind of really in it every day. And I try to make sure that I'm always listening for what people are asking for on behalf of leadership. So that's like a little bit of what I do. And I'm just so excited to be here today. So thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have you on and start to hear your perspectives. Paula, could you share your title and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. To Echo D, thanks for having us. Excited to be here. My name is Paula, and I'm a media specialist. So I actually buy the media that we run for one of our larger clients here at BT. We buy digital media, offline media. So think like any ads you see on your phone or even billboards. We have a wide variety of media that we buy. So that's what I do at Butler Till.
Awesome. Thank you. Devin, for you.
Good morning. Yeah, Dee and Paula absolutely kill it every day. Thanks for having me. So again, my name is Devin. I manage a team on our account service department. I actually work on the same larger team as Paula in the day-to-day. So I get to really see her in action, then working with Dee in action on the ECC side of things, our ESOP committee. Really, my day-to-day role is being the liaison between our multiple teams and our enterprise client contacts. and really just making sure that, you know, our clients are happy and feel that, you know, they're being heard and, you know, our internal team members are being heard as well.
That's great. Thank you. Wow. So I'm going to jump in with some, I always start with three similar questions, and I'm looking to sort of find the nuances and find the differences. But before we jump into the questions for you, I do want to give an opportunity for one of you to share a little bit more. My understanding of Butler Till is that you're 51% woman-owned and 49% ESOP. Is my research correct?
We are 100% employee-owned. So we've been employee-owned for 11 years now, since 2011. And then we are also a independence results and market purpose-driven marketing agency. So with that, we are women-owned, as you said, 100% or we are just certified women-owned. And then we're also 100% employee-owned and we're a certified B Corporation. So in the certified B Corporation, that means that we do business for good and we always are giving back to our community.
Awesome. Okay. Appreciate that. It's great. The B Corp, the certified women-owned and the 100% employee-owned, you are out there loud and proud. That's super awesome. Okay. So I want to start with these questions. They're very intentional. And so I'll give you the quick preview and then I'll walk you through them one by one. So I want to try to find the similarities and differences of how you talk about ownership when you're out in the world around non-employee owners. Mm-hmm. Tend to be very enthusiastic, finishing each other's sentences. This is quite remarkable. So just kind of pull you out of your comfort zone and your team of three today. Then how do you talk about it with friends and family? And then how do you help new coworkers understand ownership?
Absolutely.
So there's intentionally three different questions. And so some of your replies weave in and out with similarity, that's fine. But I think one of the goals of the podcast is to help people that are owners talk about ownership. And I won't give away how long. I'll let you answer before how long I believe it takes people to get a comfortable, fluent, confident ownership voice. So this is really, we're going to switch gears here to you can be the experts and then other employee owners or future employee owners can listen to you for guidance on ways to be successful. So Deanna, how do you talk about ownership when you're out in the world and you know there's no employee owners within earshot? How do you talk about employee ownership?
I'm really passionate about it. I get really excited about it. When I talk about it out in the world, I say that it's really just like a bigger picture. There's a bigger purpose within ESOP. Everybody has a voice. So we have a higher commitment to ourselves. We have a higher commitment to who we work with on a daily basis, our team members. We all really want to show up and do the job better just because it makes a difference at the end of the day in our retirement accounts. So it's really that wealth creation that drives a big difference for me from like a regular agency to an employee owned company. It's that voice that I get to say that we all have and that like, no, this really matters to me and it makes a bigger difference within the company. There's a big picture there. And I'm a part of it.
That's great. Paula, how do you talk about ownership, employee ownership, when you're away from employee owners?
Definitely echoing what Dee said, but I think it's that sense of pride too. You know, I'm so proud that I work at an employee-owned company, that I own part of the company, and I can really say that to people. It is so cool. It's gratifying. It's impressive to other people. And I, you know, and it really just gives you that, it's a sense of ownership. And I think explaining that to people haven't really heard of an ESOP in conjunction with the wealth creation it's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Devin, how do you talk about employee ownership when you're out in the world?
I think when I'm out in the world, I like to really talk about the bigger picture and logistics of really why a business would want to be employee owned at all. You know, I really like to start off and talk about, you know, as, you know, a founder or a business owner, you know, it would be a great opportunity to make the exit at, you know, some level or, you know, entirety. And, you know, when a founder or a business owner can leave a business and still assist in the building of wealth of their current employees and their future employees to come, I mean, there's no greater thank you. You know, I've not worked with our founders. However, you know, though knowing them, I know how grateful they are. They are helping all of us. You know, if somebody joins our team tomorrow, our founders, you know, Sue Butler and Tracy Till, because they went the employee owner route, you know, they're continuously building wealth within our community, you know, one employee owner at a time. And I think that really helps resonate with a lot of individuals of, you know, what is an employee owner? Why is it important? And things like that.
That's great. That's great. So some similar themes, but some different perspectives. And that's exactly what this conversation is about. What is it, you know, will lead up to? What does ownership mean to you? But it's really appreciate that. And that's the intent of these conversations, is to have that personal, put your fingerprints on some of these. So Devin, to start with you and then go back around, how do you talk about your ownership experience and ownership with friends and family?
So I think at our agency, we half kid, but at the same time, we truly do look at each other's workspaces and our public areas. And you know, we make sure that, you know, this is a great example, that, you know, nothing's running, you know, unnecessarily. You know, why waste your dollars, you know, in electric costs per se? So, you know, what I talk to my friends and family of, you know, what does it mean to be an employee owner? You know, when we're all leaving at night, we're all making sure that, you know, as silly as it might sound, you know, all of our office lamps might be off. You know, our monitors are off. Our printers are on standby mode. There's no reason that anything is running all night, because at the end of the day, every penny goes into our, you know, our stock plan. So that's why, you know, I like to kind of half kid and bring that example up. But at the same time, that half kid, you do look around and you see our team members, we look around and we are turning each other's lamps off if somebody forgets and things like that. So I think bringing that world, the kind of real world example, in helps kind of talk about that.
Yeah, that's great. And we can talk about it more as we go, but it's, you know, what are those ownership behaviors that you can see, that you can hear, that you can feel, that you can measure, that you can report, and having everybody mindfully turn off each other's lights, that speaks to a larger continuous improvement mindset, community mindset, and doing the right thing with an environment. So that's a wonderful example. Paula, how do you talk about your employee ownership experience, or just the general topic, with friends and family?
I think the difference for me between talking about it with other people out in the world versus friends and family is I can actually take my experience here and compare it to past jobs, and they've seen me in past jobs, and I don't have that, you know, gratification and that real sense of owning what I do. And I think they can see me and see that I'm happier. So I can talk about my day to my friends and family, and I think they understand how much of a say I have in what I do at the company, whether that's for a fun event or how I want to take my job role, if I want to explore something new. Have a lot of that support, I think, from leadership, from bosses, from other people around us. And I think that is directly affected by being an ESOP.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Deanna, add your comments, please.
Sure. So I would describe the experience of ownership to my friends and family. It's funny because in my position, I have to spend a lot of money for the company, and I'm always super careful about how I spend that money. And some of my family's like, well, it's a company, you guys make millions of dollars, or this or that. And I'm just like, no. But it comes back to me at the end of the day. And like, I don't want to be spending those unnecessary dollars. So it's the way that I actually try to really act as like the forefront of spending our money and our budget, and how we like actually use those resources. And like, even as when it comes down to like employee lunches and that sort of thing, like I've been like said, like, hey, D, I think we order a little bit too much. Okay, I'll tone it back because people aren't coming into the office as much. So like listening to those kinds of comments. But like with that, I think it's really truly that we all have a voice, and like we all get to really talk to each other, and like what I say to leadership or what somebody else says to leadership actually goes the distance and they do something about it. So like Devin was saying that like we turn off each other's monitors and like we kind of go around the office. We also have an anonymous feedback link. So like people can anonymously go in and give feedback to leadership directly. But like we take that super seriously. And some people are saying like, why don't we turn our music off at night? Well, it's because we just didn't hear that feedback yet. So we just need to hear that feedback and we'll do something about it. So like when I explain this to family and friends that like the small things that we all do make a big difference, they understand that like it's a part of this community. It's not just because I go to work every day and I show up and the boss says this. It's because what I do actually makes a difference in the lives of 300 other employee owners. And like, it's their values that are also going up at the end of the day. So we all try to really watch out for that.
That's great. That's great. And all three of you with the examples. I think it is really a series of small things, small gestures, small tasks, you know, small remembrances that you make a business profitable. A long, long time ago, quarter century ago, I was young once and I was a glass blower and shift leader, working leader at Simon Pierce Glass in Queechy, Vermont. And Simon would come around and in his own way, I'm not doing it in a very succinct way, and I'm not doing it great justice with a direct quote, but he would say, you know, those last couple glasses you make in a day, those are the ones that move the company forward. And I always thought of that, you know, far before, decades before I got to be part of an employee-owned company. And so it just reminded me of an older memory of that. It's like, you got a lot of things to have Butler Till go forward, and those little gestures with everybody making them at the end of the day can make that difference for your profitability, your job security, your job quality. So I think it's great the way you called that out. So let's jump into new owners. I have said this, I bet 100 times since the Web Industries episode, where one of the guests said, new hires are our retirement. Literally, you have to treat them as they're precious, because if they're successful, then I can retire when it's my time and the company's doing well. And so I have some sense over the years that Butler Till has a bit of that spirit as well. How do you help new coworkers? Deanna, if you want to kick us off, how do you help new coworkers understand ownership?
I love this question because we have a whole committee dedicated to it. It's our ECC, our Employee Communications Committee. And that's actually how the three of us are connected. We all sit on the ECC, but our ECC is really dedicated to making sure that our new owners, and we call them our future owners, really feel welcomed when they come into the office or when they come into our company, because we want to wrap our arms around them. We want to make sure that onboarding and their training is all successful. But then through that, we also plan events. And like, we do pretty regular agency learning events where we're teaching ESOP 101, ESOP 201, ESOP 301. And I won't get into all the like nuances of that, but we're really trying to push this sense of like education and like what it really means to be an employee owner, and like those small differences that we've mentioned earlier, how those add up to the big picture for their future retirement and ours.
That's great. Paula, what about for you? How do you bring it to life for new owners, new coworkers?
Yeah, I think it's all about the education, like Dee said, and we host so many more events. And I think it's also being approachable, having the ECC be approachable, seeing if the new employee, future employee owners have questions, making sure that they know that we are available for questions, no matter if it's a personal question, like, when will I be vested, or how vested am I? Or if it's a more general ESOP related question, like, why are we in ESOP or something like that? And I think a lot of that is reflected during ESOP month, where we have a ton of events and education series. We have some technical, like the ESOP 101, and we have our financial advisor come in and give a couple of sessions about different money related things, how to retire with your ESOP, things like that. So I think there's a lot of education and opportunity to help new hires really understand how beneficial this is to them as an employee owner.
Nice. Devin, what are your thoughts?
So when I'm helping any new employee, I mean, listen, as a human race, we are all so selfish, and it's all what's in it for me. Let's be real. And I always like to start off by saying, first of all, it's definitely not me, it's we when it comes to employee ownership. But what is in it for you at the end of the day is a retirement. It's a long-term investment. You know, work hard and be patient, and you'll understand what being an employee owner means. Once the employee stocks start coming through and you start seeing your shares, that's where you'll be able to really understand, you know, what it means to me to be an employee owner. And I think everything with that, it's been pretty successful so far. I've had a couple newer employees join our agency, and, you know, a few years have gone by. And I think I've said this, gosh, as long as I've ever been able to share, what does it mean to be an employee owner? When somebody comes in, they start understanding, and after, you know, those shares start coming in. And then, you know, from there, well, how do I affect that? Just work hard and be patient. And, you know, my gosh, you know, through the fun and camaraderie of the family that we live in the day to day, working hard doesn't feel hard.
Nice. Well, I'm going to throw you a twist of a question and then look to the others. Okay. How long, all of you, whatever your answer is right. I'm expecting some potentially different answers. So we're going to let this play out. How long does it take a new owner to get it, this ownership thing, to really get it? How long?
I would say 3 years.
All right. Other votes? You second the motion, or are you going to amend the motion?
You know, gosh, that's so difficult. I can hear it in all of our thought process right now. You know, I'm going to say, yeah, I dare say it could be 3 to 5 years. Okay. It, every every year, you know, you become a little bit deeper and more ingrained in the culture, and the obviously, you know, your stock price raises year over year. And I feel like every time that you see a comma, that adds a little bit more assurance into the, oh, that's what it is.
Nice. Paula, do you want to add or amend?
I can't disagree with that, but I was actually thinking more like a 1 to 2 year time frame, because it's when you hit that 20% vested mark. It takes usually around 1 to 2 years, depending on when you started there. And that's when you really, that's your first statement. That's the excitement.
You're hooked.
Yeah, you're hooked after that. Exactly. You know, you've seen a full year of events and education and everything like that. At least that's how I feel for my personal experience.
And you, I think that's super interesting, Paula, because you joined right at the height of COVID. When we just talked about that, you joined in 2020. So you were really more experiencing virtual events and virtual culture for the first half of your job. So to hear that is really interesting, actually.
Well, it's a kudos to you, Dee. Good job.
Yeah, nice job. I'll offer a couple things back for you and the listeners to see if they're helpful. And I've mentioned them on prior podcasts. So the way I introduce ownership by running the onboarding programs. On the first day, we have a 4-hour launch day to kind of get you started with your ID and safety and benefits and those things. But when we first get them settled into the auditorium or hybrid when they're on Teams with remote folks, is, you know, working at an employee-owned company is absolutely going to be different. We're sure that it's going to be a different experience. But one of our struggles is getting you to feel comfortable giving yourself enough time to get used to it. So we want you to know right out of the gate, this is going to be a different ride. And all along the way, we're going to be supporting you, because we anticipate it's going to take you a couple of years to really get your hands around it. But in the short term, if you go home today, feel excited to come back on Tuesday, and something feels different, then that is what we want you to consider. That's our ideal. Let's start with today. Let's have tomorrow, and then we can build on it from there. But ownership culture is a daily experience. It's not planned as a retirement vehicle. And you got to stick around for a while to make that happen. So until we get you down a few years into the road and you're earning your shares and those are starting, you're starting to work towards being vested, let's not rush there. Let's have today, let's have tomorrow, because if it's a daily experience, it's a job experience, job quality and community, and then down the road, it's along the way, it's wealth building, then it can be a little bit less intimidating. So if any of that language helps, I've onboarded a lot of people, and that's what I've settled on. Every other Monday, I can welcome 6 to 15 new hires, and so I get a lot of opportunities to practice. So I hope that's helpful. What I've settled on after literally talking to thousands of people with new hires, other ESOPs, conferences, speaking at conferences, what I've settled on, my current definition of the ownership experience is a sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. We walked through our manufacturing buildings across shifts during ownership month, supporting Kim Cooper, our awesome ownership team chair, and that team. You know, what does ownership mean to you in 2022? What's going to get you even more excited in 2023? And we went to people where they work, which can get very different answers, and trying to call everyone back into a room. Humans need a little practice getting back together in groups. It's good to acknowledge that sometimes.
Absolutely.
And what I boiled it down to, I was talking with Corey Rosen. We had an exchange going and I shared the insight. And I think you could really boil it all down to a sense of belonging. And so it's a lot of fun in our conversation so far, because it is loud and proud that your sense of belonging at Butler Hill for all three of you is kind of part of who you are and your work identity. So I'm going to ask you the big question. Here it's coming. Here it comes. Paula, what does ownership mean to you?
Yeah, so I think we all have a bit of a personal story for this question. Mine is when I first applied for Butler Till as a company, I talked to my dad, who is a financial advisor, and I said, look at this. It's an employee-owned company. This is an ESOP. And my dad was immediately like, do it. You have to. That is great. That's so good for you. So it really touches on that wealth building. And that is not the only reason that it is so important to me and what ownership means to me. I mean, it echoes the same theme we've been talking about, the sense of belonging and the empowerment for every individual and everything. But at the end of the day, Devin kind of said this before, but humans are selfish. And, you know, I want to be able to provide for my family now and in my retirement. And so it's really important.
That's great. Devin, for you, what does ownership mean to you?
Years ago, when I first started, I think I was gosh, maybe 6 months, maybe into working with Butler Till. And I was working on a project and it was making me stay. I bet it was going to make me stay until 8 or 9. It was just a long project. It, by nobody's fault, it just turned out to be something quite long. I needed to get it done in that day. I was watching, you know, slowly people starting to leave for the evening. And my entire core team, there was 5 other individuals, when they were starting to pack up their bags, say goodnights, you know, I was sharing my goodnights, they all kind of passed my area and they all stopped. And actually all 5 of them stayed and we divvied up this project to get done. And I never have felt so at home with not family. They immediately stopped what they were doing. Everyone, I know a few of them all had babies to go home to. And regardless of the end of the day, everyone wants to go home, but all of them stayed. And we got through a project in minimal time compared to me doing it by myself. And that kind of talks to the, we share a quote sentimentally, I think, all between each other at the agency, where we all say we step up, not out. And that really speaks to that. It really, my entire team just stepped up, helped me out. And I've never forgotten that years later. And that's something that we still share to this day. And I see teams doing to this day, and we'll stay, you know, to make sure that, you know, everyone can go home at a decent time, or, you know, that the project or a campaign is launched or completed, you know, to the best and fullest capabilities. And, you know, I think that's what being an owner means to me, and what ownership in general means to me is really just working as a team, as a whole, and, you know, making sure that everybody succeeds together.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Deanna, what does ownership mean to you?
Yes. Well, Devin, that was a beautiful answer. It really resonates with me too, because I see that happening around the building. But to me, ownership, I would say that we face challenges head on. And when I say that, I mean that if a pitch didn't go as planned or if a project didn't go as planned, like, we don't just back down from it. We face it head on. And we actually have a saying in the office where we call it a near lean. We nearly got there. So we're going to work harder to kind of overcome it the next time. And that's just taking ownership in what you do. It's not kind of ignoring it or saying like, okay, whatever, we'll do better next time. It's like facing the problem head on, like what really went wrong, diving into everything that we really did and changing it. So in the future, it's just totally outstanding. And I think that's how we've gotten to kind of where we are. And that's what I would say. And then on top of that, kind of similar to Paula's story, is way back in the day when I was in the restaurant industry and I had no idea really what employee ownership was or what this kind of model of business was, my aunt told me, if you ever have the opportunity to work for an employee-owned company, do it. And so when I got the interview with Butler Till, I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is an employee owned company. But then the first day, it really made the difference. Like, I could feel the difference in coming to work. I could see and feel that people cared about each other. So it's caring about our employees too. That's what employee ownership is. Like, I just feel like everybody here, we are all reliable and we're all accountable. So like, I could really tap on anybody and be like, hey, I really need you to help me with something. And they would step up to do that. So I think that's where I see it the most.
That's great. Yeah. The camaraderie themes that talking about ESOPs, large and small, new and old, the camaraderie and the care, it's just wonderful and refreshing to hear and hearing that from you today. So I want to ask a very specific Butler Till question, because I've never got to ask this before. Having watched with glee on LinkedIn how you built a new building, made a huge investment in a downtown that has all the benefits of, you know, being community leaders, do you feel that the building design was influenced by your ownership culture? And if so, how?
100% influenced by our culture.
Tell me more, Deanna. Tell me more.
So our former CFO, Miss Melissa Palmer, she's amazing. Her big vision in our old building, which was dark, one level, in a warehouse kind of facility. Her big vision when we were building the new building was this grand staircase. So we quite literally have this grand staircase where we all get to kind of come together and have our agency meetings. And it's super technology savvy. So all of our remote folks in 18 states plus, all 100 of them, which is crazy now, they can beam in and be where we are. And we can have those kind of easy flow conversations. And like, leadership, really, there's no offices, really. There's a very select group of offices. So everybody's kind of out and working together. But because we were also building during COVID, we had to take space into account. So we have this kind of balance of comfortable spaces where people can collaborate, but distant spaces where people can kind of break out and be themselves. But also everybody has their own cube. So everybody still has spaces to kind of work together. But yeah, it's a beautiful building. And if you ever want to come in and see, we're in Rochester, New York. We'd love to have you. Anything to add, Paula or Devin?
You crushed it.
Nice.
I think one cool thing that we could relate to one of the earlier conversations we had with the staircases, you know, that's where we host the company meetings. We also have quarterly owners forums where we discuss financials. We have monthly just general check-ins. And that was an idea that came from an ESOP conference many years ago. And now we host those meetings on the staircase, the sense of community. And I think it all circles back and ties together beautifully.
Nice. Yeah, it's a unique opportunity for me as somebody for 15, almost 16 years obsessed with, fascinated by ownership culture, to have watched that develop and think they're putting a stake in the ground. They're investing in Rochester, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But then watching how your building was coming together, and when you started to share things out, I was like, they're building it for owners. That's totally cool to watch.
The other thing is they built it for us, but we also own the building. So that's another really fun fact. So by building the building, we also diversified our portfolio, because now we also own the building that has residential apartments and does business retail on the bottom. So it's kind of a joint venture opportunity when you look at it. And they really were smart thinking when they kind of planned this out in downtown Rochester to kind of help revitalize downtown, but also revitalize our employees and get them excited about where they live again.
Yeah. That's great.
Something that I think is really key to note is right before this building was built, there were surveys that were going around and conversations being had and kind of small, you know, roundtable discussions with our leadership team on all things amenity related, something to make you comfortable at the office. The little things such as music playing in the common areas. You know, there's nothing better than walking into the office first thing in the morning and being, you know, woken up to with Nicki Minaj coming on. And, you know, and I swear, you know, it wakes you up. And it's because a lot of the individuals in our agency wanted some music in the public spaces. We didn't want, you know, any quiet, you know, dark areas. We wanted light. We wanted sound. We're a vibrant group. And, you know, from there, you know, what kind of lighting do we want? You know, how high would you want if there were any walls around your desks? You know, what are the height you want? You know, what is the level of communication you want to have with your neighbors around you? And it's for every square inch of that building was really discussed with all of us as a whole as we progressed through it. There was no surprise when we walked in that, you know, oh, by the way, you have these cubes, or you walk in and you have, you know, this hurdle to go through. Everything was, you know, what's important? Parking. You know, where our current location a year ago was, you know, we all have free parking. Well, if we're going downtown, we still want parking. We all have cars. You know, they ensured that we would have parking. And by gosh, you know, now we all have underground parking for free right under our building. And, you know, so just, you know, it really was built with everyone in mind and full transparency as they progressed.
That's great. The risk of ownership, I think, is that if everybody owns something, and this is like basic project management, far from the ESOP world, but if everybody owns something, then maybe nobody owns it, in the sense of like getting it to the finish line, having it. But then the beauty can be that if you have fingerprints encouraged, leave fingerprints all over the project, which it sounds like Butler Till did from the get-go, then you can really see, you know, my voice matters. Mm-hmm. Hey, my input is now standing in downtown Rochester. That part of the building, somebody heard me, valued it, and now people are having an experience.
Yes, so I have something to add to that. Just recently, as we just celebrated 1 year in the building in October, and it has come up multiple times that we don't have enough single, like almost phone booths for employees to kind of go off to have either a personal conversation, have a quick client call, that sort of thing. So that was kind of an oversight when we were building, is that we didn't have enough of these. And leadership announced at our October Employees Owner Forum that they're installing 6 to 8 phone booths throughout the building. So don't see our facilities director walking around and measuring squares all around the building, because they actually listen to us and they're like, oh, wait, yeah, we need to add some more of those. So they're going out of their way to add them. And it's just small things like that, that like, wow, yeah. And it's quick actions too. Like, there's not really too much turnaround time. We had a complaint about Nicki Minaj playing in the lobby just this week, and we changed the radio station. It just happens quick, and it's beautiful to see the collaboration and just the communication with it.
That's great. And that people can speak up. And if some people want to hold the line with Nicki Minaj, they may. And it's okay to disagree. And it's okay to have a little variety. So that's great. But that's stirring other conversations. So if you need to challenge each other on a project, or like Devin said, listen, I need five people to hold on for 45 minutes and help me with a rescue because our clients come first. Then those moments can be, those conversations can be easier to have if you've been jabbing each other on Nicki Minaj or not in the lobby. And so it gives you a chance to practice that camaraderie that when you're so customer focused and you need to have those hard conversations, it's not personal. We've got to deliver. So
yeah,
I appreciate that a lot. So I love the long open answers. And now I'm going to have a little bit of fun, a little mischief constraining you. The intent is with the three words question is, if you were to describe ownership today in this moment, in three words, what three words would you share? Can the Butler Till team do it? Devin, what three words would you reduce employee ownership to?
For me, three words. That's really hard for me because I'm a talker. Flexible, safe, and engaging.
Nice. So I'm gonna since you set the tone of actually pulling this off, because most guests can't do it, I'm gonna come back to you. I'm gonna go around the horn and come back to you, and you do get to explain it a little bit more.
Okay.
Paula, what three words for you on ownership?
My words are going to be accountability.
Nice.
Inspiring and transparent.
Nice. Deanna, can you take the three-word challenge?
I would love to accept this challenge. My three favorite words, or three top favorite words that I would say describe Butler Till, would be innovative, collaborative, and purpose-fueled.
Nice. All right, so we'll go back around. Devin, do you want to add any color to your three words, starting with flexible?
Yeah, so just with the flexibility, our leadership team makes it clear every time they speak that if we need something, any accommodations, especially as we're kind of progressing out of the COVID pandemic life per se, you know, they're listening, and everyone in a management position at our agency is willing to work with anybody. And that's just like a work-life balance when I talk about flexibility. And I don't think we get that not being an employee-owned agency. I think that really speaks to part of our employee ownership. And then just, you know, when I talk about the safety, I just, you know, there's so much research showing, you know, through recessions, through pandemics now, the growth rate that employee ownership businesses really have, that, you know, that it just feels safe to be able to work in an employee-owned company during such troubling world times, I feel like.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that part more.
Yeah, and like, absolutely.
And when you say safe too, that also makes me think of, well, I just lost my train of thought, but that was...
Well, it's funny you say that, because I kind of had two trains of thought. Our first one, you know, is safe in the sense of, you know, financially, but our agency, we stress the importance of our DEIB initiatives through diversity, equity. You know, there's nobody that is not welcome at Butler Till. We are beyond equal opportunity. I couldn't, you know, have more faith and trust in our leadership, you know, to be able to choose somebody, you know, to work at our agency that just, you know, belongs there because they belong there. Well, you know, and there's, you know, I can go into that for hours, but that, you know, many different strains of safety for sure.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Paula, do you want to add any of your three that you want to add a little more insight to? Remove the constraints of the three-word challenge and just hear some more thoughts like Devin shared.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I want to talk about inspiring, because I feel inspired in a lot of different aspects, and it's almost hard to pick one funnel to go down. But in the ESOP light, I think our founders, Tracy and Sue, are inspiring that they wanted to leave this legacy for all of these employees and future employees that they didn't even know yet, because it was their decision to make this an employee-owned company. And I think that inspires me to try and do good and do better every day for myself, for my coworkers, for Devin and Deanna here. And then also transparency is key. I mean, I know I touched on how we have the monthly, quarterly meetings, but I just feel like being an ESOP, we have so much transparency from each other. I think employees are more open with each other. And I feel that from leadership a ton too. I feel like I can talk to anyone on our leadership team and they'll be honest with me. And I mean, even maybe the sentence, I feel like I could talk to anyone on my leadership team. Like that's great too. So
that's great. Deanna, anything you want to add?
Absolutely. So my one word that I would like to add to is innovative. And I think what we try to do in the sense of innovation is try to put it back into the hands of our employee owners. So ideas come from everywhere and no idea is really a bad idea. And we actually were listening to those ideas and developed an app so employee owners could go in and give their feedback or give their ideas that directly fuel our strategy and push us forward, directly help our clients. So we have this space where employees can go to share their ideas because we know that leader, it's not just up to leadership. It's not just up to the directors. It's up to everybody. It's up to everybody who's out there talking day to day with the clients on the reporting sites and that sort of thing who know what's happening and they can really help us. So like we're looking for those ideas and we don't ever want to be left in the dust. So like we take them seriously. And then also with purpose fueled, I really like this word or little two words, I guess, because we are a B Corp. So we do business for good and we're out there and everything that we do, we're trying to help our community. We're trying to help each other. We're trying to make sure that the communities that are remote employees are also thriving and that they're thriving in their homes. And so everything that we do has a bigger sense behind what we're actually doing. We're going out there to create connections and make a difference. And I think that shows up kind of every day here working at Butler Till.
That's great. That's
literally
great.
On our wall.
Literally on our
connections
wall.
Make a difference.
No, I like I said at the outset of our conversation is, you know, I encourage it at conferences. I encourage it for non-ESOPs. If you want to see how to amplify culture, follow Butler Till and learn from them. So it's fun to get to have you speak to it directly. I've been saying that for years. So I have two questions as our conversation concludes, and they're conveniently put together one after the other for you. One, what is something that Butler Till does you feel is great around employee ownership culture? And then I'm going to tag with a big finish where, why do you like working at Butler Till? And you are welcome to promote your company so that our dream on the EO Podcast Network and the Owner to Owner podcast would be that people hearing this interview helps you fill that hard to fill position. Well, the hiring is challenging now. We haven't even gotten to the hard part when it comes to available workforce. And so I do want us to finish strong. So to tee up a nice answer for that, what is something that Butler Till does really well that you can share with the national ESOP community? What's something that somebody else could learn from you because you're just so bustling with pride, you have to talk about it right now. Devin, do you have something in mind?
Our investment in our people, hands down. What I mean by that is Butler Till will invest in people, whether it be through certain positions, you know, that, you know, we're hiring for, down to our current employees where, you know, when we're investing in our people, that's our people's culture as well. And, you know, we'll be able to, you know, come together and have transparent conversations with, whether that be holding, you know, all agency events together to build our culture, you know, just really, there's so many folds to that. I would just say our investment in our people on many levels, emotionally, financially, culturally.
Awesome. Paula, what about for you? What's one of your favoriteest things that Butler Till does on the EO culture front?
I'm going to go with communication. I think we are so good at communication. We have so many different channels, whether that's through Teams and all agency announcements, or we also have like a water cooler Teams chat. So someone can post, do you know a great roofer in the area, something like that. But on top of that, we have, and the ideas channel, where you can submit an idea, whether that is about the facilities or about your role more specifically. We have something called High Fives also in Teams where you can give another employee owner a shout
out.
Absolutely. Which is so fun. You get a $5 gift card and it really is a way for peer-to-peer, just, you know, bringing them up and being able to support each other and really being saying thank you, right? And understanding that we're all working hard. We have Teams profiles also. And so that's a way to see every employee owner and future owner is in there. And the profile is, you know, your headshot, a couple of fun facts when you started, who your team is. And that makes it really accessible to talk to everybody. And we have a lot of different, I think, things that just with communication, everyone talks to each other. I know that sounds silly, but like if I don't, I feel comfortable sending anyone a Teams message or walking to anyone's desk to go talk to each other. So I think my overall theme of what I think Butler Tilda is amazing is just communication.
Awesome. Awesome. Deanna, what's something that you just can't, I can see it in your face. You've got something. What is that thing that Butler Tilda does on EO culture that you want to share with the community?
Yes, I'm learning that we do engagement and like events really well. So I think coming out of the pandemic, we're really leaning into socialization and bringing people back together. And I think that's something that we're really leaning into and doing well. This past year, we introduced the culture calendar and it's up throughout the building and on our teams or our app. We have an internal app that we have. So everywhere, every month, you can always see what's happening every day of the week, whether it's an agency learning event, whether it's a monthly company-wide meeting, whether we have office massages that day, or if the chiropractor is going to be in the office. The calendar is just like always readily available, and it really encourages people to kind of pick and choose and self-serve how they want to engage with their employee owners.
Nice, nice. All right, so the big finish. You are speaking to the labor market about why you like working at Butler Till and why others out there should join you on your ownership Butler Till experience. Paula, could you speak to the audience directly?
I could speak to the audience for hours on this question, but I'll try and keep it short and sweet. I think I love working at Butler Till because of the people. The people make the experience for me. I think it's everyone cares so much directly because we are employee owned. I think that's what's most important to me.
Nice. Nice. The people make the experience. I see that on a future t-shirt bumper sticker. That's awesome. Devin, the floor is yours.
I'm an echo because it's just the people for me. I have nothing more to say. Just I love everybody there. Full people.
That's great. Oh,
man, I'm going to say the same thing. It's the people. We are all full. It's like, it's not even the people. It's like, it's the leadership. It's the teams we work with. It's people who are listening to make the difference for every. So it's just everybody. And like everybody really cares. And so yeah, it's the people because we're all driving this business forward.
That's great. I can't think of the survey. It was a major survey, so I can't give proper credit. But the top thing for current workplace is people want to like the people that work with. That came in much top of the list over some of the money. You know, pay and benefits is what we work for. So you'd think that they wouldn't have to be at the top, which often happens. But I laughed out loud when I read it. I don't know, it was a CB Gartner. I can't remember who. It was a big survey. And it was like basically came down to people want to enjoy the people that they work with. And so you showed how tuned in you are as marketers by sharing your personal convictions have to match with current content. So that's a nicely done. All right. Well, I've had a lot of fun. We could keep going and going, but I know that you own a company that you need to get back to, and I should probably get back to mine as well. So a special thanks from the EO Podcast Network for Devin, Paula, and Deanna from the awesome 100% employee-owned B Corp and women-owned certified marketing company with a new Shaped by Ownership culture and mindset facility 1 year now in Rochester, New York. That's awesome. Yeah. Look forward to bumping into you again in the near future at conferences. And you can, as always, you can reach out however I can be helpful. But we do really appreciate it. And thank you also to our listeners. We hope that you learned from three excited, highly engaged employee owners. And again, thanks from the Owner Podcast on the EO Podcast Network.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook at EO Podcast Network and on Twitter at ESOP Podcast. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.